everyone. And welcome to worship in First Omagh this morning. It's lovely to have you here with us. Let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the opportunity we have to come into this house of worship and to thank you for all that you have done for us. We thank you for the gift of Jesus and that because we trust and believe in him, we can come before you in prayer and know that you will listen and answer our prayers in accordance with your good and perfect will. Forgive us for the many times we forget to talk to you each day, and help us to trust in you and in your love and goodness for us and for all those whom we know and love. These prayers we offer in Jesus' name. Amen. Our service this morning is focusing on the topic of prayer, and so we're going to sing an ancient prayer, hymn 491, Be Thou My Vision, O Lord of My Life. Let us stand together and worship God through this prayer song. Our first scripture passage this morning will be read for us by Ray Campion and is Psalm 5, verses 1 to 8. And this can be found on page 539 of the Bibles in the pews. Psalm chapter 5, verses 1 to 8. Let's listen to God's word to us today.
Listen to my words, O Lord, and hear my sighs. Listen to my cry for help, my God and King. I pray to you, O Lord, you hear my voice in the morning. At sunrise I offer my prayer and wait for your answer. You are not a God who is pleased with wrongdoing. You allow no evil in your presence. You cannot stand the sight of the proud. You hate all wicked people. You destroy all liars and despise violent, deceitful people. But because of your great love, I can come into your house. I can worship in your holy temple and bow down to you in reverence. Lord, I have so many enemies. Lead me to do your will. Make your way plain for me to follow.
Thank you very much, Ray. And if I could ask the children in the congregation to come to the front after our little talk and the next hymn, then you'll go out to Jigsaw and the seniors will go out to Blast and the little ones will go out to Tots. Tots is just through this door across the corridor for anyone under the age of five. Jigsaw is in the Rowan Hall for primary school children and Blast is upstairs in the youth room for anyone who's in secondary school. That's great. So good morning. Lovely to see you this morning. Has the cat got your tongue, as they say? Good morning. Do you know, whenever I go into assembly and then they say, the principal introduces me and they say, and she says, good morning, Reverend Nelson, good morning, boys and girls. They all reply and say, good morning, Reverend Nelson, and really loud. And you know, you're the same children. You're the same children that I see in assembly. Good morning, boys and girls.
Good morning.
Okay, we'll do one change when you're in church, but don't do this when you're in school, right? Good morning, boys and girls, and you reply, good morning, Jane. All right? Good morning, boys and girls.
Good morning, Jane.
Lovely. Well, that's lovely. It's lovely to have you here, but do remember not to do that in school or the teacher might shout at you. Anyway, it's lovely to have you here this morning. And one of the important things that we do when we come to church is to worship God, and we've already sung to him, and we've already prayed to him, but we're going to pray now. And I don't know if whenever you're at school or if you're saying your prayers at home, if you do this, do you? Sometimes you might do. That's the way that we would have been taught whenever I was your age. We had to put our hands together like this. So I want you all to put your hands together like this. And I'm going to help you to remember how to pray to God. So we see our thumb. You see your little thumb? It's the closest one to you, and it's the closest one to your heart. So when you're praying to God, you can pray for those who are closest to your heart, which is your family. Your mum, your dad, your brothers and sisters, your cousins, your aunts, your uncles, your grannies, your grandas. Those very important, special people in your life. So the thumb closest to the heart, you pray for your family. The pointer finger, which we all know about this, the pointer finger is for those who teach us. So we think of people like your teachers, your Sunday school teachers, your minister. We think about people who help us in life and direct us, like doctors and nurses and care assistants, all who seek to help and instruct us in life. So thumb, our families, pointer finger, our teachers and those who instruct us, doctors and nurses, to live a healthy life. The big finger in the middle. The big finger is the tallest. So we pray there for the people who rule over us in this world, and particularly for the Queen and for her government and for our MPs and for all who rule in the world, and also in our lives and in school. That would be your school principal, so sort of the bosses in the world. We pray for them because they have a big job and they need our prayers. And then your next finger, which is called the ring finger. And did you know this finger is the weakest finger in your hand? It's the finger that you can do the least with. The other fingers are much stronger. You can pinch. But when you go to pinch with the fourth one, it's not so easy, sure it's not. It's a wee bit weaker. So we remember with the fourth finger to pray for those who are weak or who are sick or who are lonely or who are sad. And then the little finger represents you or me. It represents us. And we can pray to God for the things that are on our hearts too. But we come last. We pray for ourselves last. We put others first. So we're going to say a little prayer. So put your hands together and I'll say a little prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the families that you have given to us. We pray that you will bless them and watch over them and keep them safe. We thank you, Lord, for the people who teach us in school and for those who help us in life, like doctors and nurses and caring staff in the community. And we pray, O Lord, for those who rule over us. We think of our Queen and our government and our MPs and our councillors. We think of the people in our school, the principal and the vice principal, and all those who seek to provide direction and leadership in all aspects of life. Help them, O Lord, to have wisdom and to make good decisions. And Lord, we remember those who are weak in our community, those who are sick, those who are sorrowing because a loved one has died or is very ill. We think of those who are poorly in many other ways, those in other countries who don't have enough food to eat or a home to sleep in at night. So we pray for them and we ask, O Lord, that they would receive the help that they need. And finally, Lord, we pray for ourselves and we ask that you will bless us in our life, that you will give us all that we need for each new day. These prayers we offer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much, and I hope that you will remember that and remember what all of those fingers on your hand can help us to remember who to pray for when we say our prayers to God. And we can pray to God at any time. Yes, we pray to him in church, but we can pray to him at home. We can pray to him in school. And so we can talk to him every single day. So we're going to sing our next song, which is Talk to God and Share with Him the Things You Do Each Day. Because God loves us and wants us to speak to him and to share all that we've been doing. So the hymn, I'm not sure if it's overly familiar, but I'm sure we'll get it by the end. So let's stand together and worship God. So we come now to what I've now called our community news, which is the notices in relation to some of the items that I'd like to highlight that are going on either in the church or in our community. The rest of the notices you will find in the notice sheet that you can take home and read when you get home. So first thing I'd like to draw to your attention is our Sunday lunch bunch. Sunday lunch bunch starts back again next week. So if you're someone who lives on your own and would normally have Sunday lunch on your own, then you're very welcome to join with us over a meal after church next week. So to help the caterers know how many people to cater for, it would be helpful if you signed your name on the sheet on the way out. But even if you forget to sign it, which I often do, They always have a dinner ready for you, so they always put in an extra few. But still, it helps if you do remember. I think they just add me in anyway. But so Sunday lunch bunch is next Sunday after church, and you'll be very welcome to come along and share with us over a meal. And then this evening, we're having a presbytery prayer evening in Ardstraw Presbyterian Church. The presbytery are hosting two prayer evenings, one in Ardstraw and the other one down in Cavanaleck in County Fermanagh. We're to go to the one in Ardstraw, and it's open to anybody who wants to go. It doesn't have to be an elder. A lot of people think when presbytery is mentioned that it's only an elder who is invited. But to the presbytery prayer evenings, they are open to everyone. And you're invited to come along at 7:30 this evening to pray for the work in our churches and the work in our communities, and also to hear a little bit about prison fellowship from Joanne Reid, the daughter of David Reid, who's the minister, currently works in with women prisoners here in Northern Ireland, and she's going to share a little bit about the prison fellowship and the work that they do inside the prisons in Northern Ireland. So again, an opportunity to hear and to pray for that very vulnerable and challenging community. And then this Thursday evening, this isn't in the weekly notices because I forgot to send it to Godfrey because I have another meeting that night. But there is a congregational prayer meeting on Thursday evening at 7 o'clock in the committee room. Thursday evening at 7 o'clock in the committee room. And Audrey has very kindly agreed to lead that prayer meeting for me as I'll be down in the cathedral in Enniskillen taking part in a diocesan synod service. And then finally, keeping on our theme of prayer, we're going to talk about the prayer chain, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to invite Isabel Bell, who coordinates our prayer chain, to come forward and to share with you a little bit about this ministry that has been ongoing in our congregation over the last number of years. And so we look forward to all that Isabel will have to share with us.
Good morning, everyone. I said to Emma, I feel a bit like I'm in the Dragon's Den this morning, if anybody watches that programme, and I'm putting a pitch to you. So I'm here to ask for volunteers to join our team on the prayer chain. The reward you get is seeing prayers answered and knowing that you're helping others in times of need. And your ultimate reward will be in heaven. The purpose of the prayer chain is to unite people to pray for individuals, events, or situations needing prayer. What is it? How does it work? You will have seen in the announcement sheet this morning, and it's usually at the top of the sheet, there's a request for prayers. If anyone has anyone who needs prayers, that they can contact me, and we ask that you ask the person that you're wanting prayers for, that you ask their permission before you actually approach me. We're not a clique. And this is a word which is used very often in churches, and it can be very off-putting for people. People think everybody in different organisations are in a clique, and they think that they can't be part of it and they can't use their talents. So I would emphasise that we're not a clique. We don't have prayer meetings. A lot of people, when they hear about prayer, they switch off because they think, I don't want to pray in front of anybody else, and I would feel out of place there. So we're actually like the links of a chain, as the name suggests. So each of us pass on the request. The request comes to me, and then we pass on the prayer to the next person on the link. So you actually have two points of contact. You'll have the person that gives you the request and then the person that you contact to pass it on to. And obviously the main link is when you pray, which is the most important part of it, that you actually pray. And you don't want to be the weakest link. Each person's request is important. You might know the person involved in the prayer request. You might not know. It might be just a name to you. But to God, every name's important, and he knows everybody in every situation. So it's important that we pray You might think as well that you won't know the words to use, but God says in Romans 8, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. So it's the words aren't important. The feeling behind the words is the important part. And God answers all prayers, no matter what the words are. Confidentiality is vital. Anyone who is seeking prayer is often in a bad situation. Whether it's worry or whatever, it's life-threatening or whatever it is. They don't want their business talked about around the church or around. They also don't need to be approached. If you know that they are in difficult situations, it's important that you don't go to them and start talking to them about, because you've heard it on the prayer chain. It's confidentiality is one of the most vital things. People need to be able to trust the group because they are sharing very personal things. I have left this morning some sheets down in the table down there and the little table at the side here. It's just a little sheet where you can fill in your information, your contact details, basically. And if you want to ring me to ask any questions or anything, feel free to do so. I will be in Malta this week coming, God willing. Be aware of that. But the sheet will be there for the next few weeks. And I would ask that you would think about this. You've maybe been helped yourself by people praying for you. You might have been one of the people that we have prayed for on the prayer chain. Think about it prayerfully and think of how you could contribute. Age isn't important. We have someone who is no longer able to come to church but is a vital team member. So I would encourage you all to think about this and to take the opportunity to use your talents and use something. Maybe you can't be part of some other organisation because you don't feel that that's you, but maybe this is something you could do. So thank you.
Thank you very much, Isabel. We're a very vital and important aspect of our ministry, and certainly as I go out and about in the community and also around the congregation, there are many people in need of prayer, and they value the thought that this congregation is willing to remember them in prayer on a regular basis. So if you feel that's something that you could do, then please do speak to Isabel about it. So, as I said, our theme today is prayer. So we're going to turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, verses 5 to 15. And here we read about that wonderful prayer that the Lord Jesus has taught his followers to pray. So let's read that together. Matthew chapter 6, found page 9 of the New Testament section of the pew, starting at verse 5. Let us pray. Let us listen to God. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. They love to stand up and pray in the house of worship and on the street corners so that everyone will see them. I assure you that they have already been paid in full. But when you pray, go to your room and close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what you do in private will reward you. When you pray, do not use a lot of meaningless words as the pagans do, who think that their gods will hear them because their prayers are long. Do not be like them. Your Father already knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, may your holy name be honored. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need. Forgive us the wrongs we have done, as we forgive the wrongs that others have done to us. Do not bring us to hard testing, but keep us safe from the evil one. If you forgive others the wrongs they have done to you, Your Father in heaven will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive the wrongs you have done. And we thank God for his word to us. And before we come to the sermon, we're going to sing a hymn that's based on the prayer of St. Francis of Assisi, "Make Me a Channel of Your Peace," which is hymn 596. I wonder how many of you here this morning like to read an instruction book before you switch on a new piece of equipment or attempt a bit of DIY or begin to knit that new winter sweater. Are you someone who's an inductive learner or an intuitive learner? Do you learn by following the rules or do you learn through trial and error? I have to say I'm more of an inductive learner. I like to read the manual, understand the knitting pattern, follow the pictures on the IKEA DIY project. Other people I know, probably the more creative ones, don't need to follow the pattern or the instruction book, but prefer to experiment and be innovative. So just as a wee tester to see what we're like, if you are someone who likes to read the instructions and follow the recipe and the instruction books, put your hand up. Yep, that's great. And then put your hands up if you're one of those people that's quite creative and you really don't like following the rules and you just want to just test things out and see if you can do them. There you go. Maybe less people willing to admit to that one, but certainly as I saw those hands go up, it didn't surprise me who put their hands up for the first one and who put their hands up for the second one. Because that's the way we are naturally. And it depends on our own individual skills and gifts and abilities. You could be just a naturally good baker, or you could have learnt at your mother's knee, so you just can throw this and that in and come out with a beautiful, delicious cake for everybody to eat, Julie being one of those. Or you could be like me, and even though you follow the recipe, the cake's more like a rubber flying saucer, and no good for anything but the bin. Even the birds would need it. Prayer is a little bit like that. It's not something which everyone finds instinctively easy. But you know, the more we do it, the more competent we become in it, the more natural it is to us. And we often learn things through the example of others. And prayer is taught by the example of our parents. Many of you will have remembered your own parents praying in the evening and before they go to bed, praying in the morning. Maybe they taught you to say their prayers, to say your prayers before you lay your head down to sleep. So we can learn about prayer in our home lives. We also learn about prayer through our Sunday school teachers as they lead us in prayer, and our minister leading us from the front of church, or perhaps through a friend or an elder who prays with us on a private situation over a particular circumstance. And so we can learn from the example of others. But you know, if you're not the most comfortable prayer in the world, then don't despair. You're not on your own. The disciples were amazed at the prayers which Jesus offered up to God. The prayers that Jesus offered were different from the prayers that they heard in the synagogue, or that they offered in the synagogue, or that they used in their homes. These prayers were often based on scriptures, and quite often they were reciting the book of Psalms. And as Presbyterians, we all know what a wonderful, great resource for prayer the Psalms are, because they tap into every human emotion possible. Sorrow, joy, grief, anger, all found in the pages there, helping us to communicate to God through the words of other people. But Jesus' prayers were different even from those important prayers that are found in the Psalms. He prayed in a way which the disciples had never heard prayed before. He prayed to his heavenly Father in front of his disciples, prayers that were intimate, that were powerful, that were enriching, that changed who he was. They could see the transformation in Jesus from his weakness and his sorrow and his tiredness to someone who was filled with strength and vigor and energy and passion for the mission that God had sent him to do. And that came through his time of prayer with his heavenly Father. So they wanted to know, is this something that we could learn as well? And they said to him, Lord, Lord, can you teach us to pray the way you pray? And so Jesus did, and we have the example of that in Matthew's Gospel and in Luke's Gospel, where he teaches his disciples the Lord's Prayer. And it's a wonderful resource for us. It's one that we probably all learnt as children, and we recite it Sunday by Sunday. But we need to remember that it is a model for prayer as well. It's not the only way that we can pray to God. It is a good way to pray. Jesus taught us to pray that way, but it also helps us as we develop our own prayer lives. Jesus' prayer life with his heavenly Father wasn't just reciting the Lord's Prayer to him. It was much, much more than that. But this gives us a good template or a pattern or even an instruction for us to follow. But as we follow it and as we think about it, then it will help us to shape our own prayers. Philip Yancey, in his book entitled Prayer, says, Jesus taught a model prayer, the Lord's Prayer, but he gave a few rules. His teaching reduces down to three principles. Keep it honest, keep it simple, and keep it up. Keep it honest, keep it simple, and keep it up. That's why Jesus said, don't babble like the pagans, long repetitive prayers that ramble on and on and on, telling God things that he already knows. Isn't that interesting that God already knows our situation, but he still wants us to talk to him? He wants us to communicate with him. He wants us to share with him the things that we think about, the things that worry us, the things that concern us. Why? If he already knows, what's the point in us speaking to him, even brief prayers, what's the point in that? Well, if I asked you, if you had a relationship with your husband or your wife or your mother or your father, your brothers or sisters or your best friend, but you never talked to them, you never shared with them, You never spoke to them about what was on your heart, even though they probably knew what your worries and concerns were. You would say, well, that's not a great relationship. You probably don't tell your mother or your father anything that they don't already know, but they love to hear you sharing it with them. They love to be able to support you and to equip you and to enable you in whatever your worry or your concern is. And it's better if you come to them first looking for help and then they can help you. Otherwise, they'll impose their advice and you won't take it. I know that was the way I went. So we need to communicate with our parents, with our spouses, with our siblings, with our friends. It's the same with God. We communicate with him. We tell him what's on our heart. And that helps to develop our relationship with God so that we get to know him better and he is able to help and shape us into the people that he wants us to be, just as a family helps and shapes one another in a good way, we hope. So Jesus gives us this Lord's Prayer as a family prayer. He says that we are to open it by saying, Our Father who art in heaven. What a privilege to call Almighty God our Father. And we take it for granted. We've learnt this prayer as children. But we're not automatically children of God. Yes, we are people, human beings made in the image of God. Every human being is like that. But it is only through our faith in Jesus that we are able to call his Father our Father, because he is the one who unites us together in the family of God. And he tells us that just as he can pray to his Abba Father, we, through faith in him, are able to pray to God and to call him our Father. Now, the word that Jesus often used to describe that relationship that he had with God was the Aramaic word Abba, which we translate to mean Father. But actually, the translation is a much more intimate and personal name. I don't know what you called your father when you were growing up. Maybe you called him Father because he was a very stern character. Most of us called our fathers Daddy or Dad or Papa or Pops or whatever, a little intimate word to identify the special relationship that we had. So Jesus tells us that we can call God Daddy. He is our Father God, our Papa God, who loves us as a father is supposed to love his children. So we call him Abba Father, Papa Father, who art in heaven. And there we need to balance that intimate relationship with that eternal God who is Lord over all of creation and who is all-powerful and all-knowing and all-just and all-good. So we need to keep his holiness in mind as well as that personal relationship that we have with him through faith in Christ. One commentator says we cannot include one without the other. We can't become too familiar with God that we think that we can go, run up to him just like a child all the time with our demands and our requests. We also need to remember that he is holy and he is vast, powerful, and that we, compared to him, are minuscule. Yet he loves us, yet he chooses to save us. So the Lord's Prayer helps us to understand that through faith in Christ, we are part of God's family. And that means that we're part of the family of God. All Christians who worship Jesus and who give glory to God. We're united together as brothers and sisters in Christ. And it's one of the most beautiful things to be able to pray the Lord's Prayer with our brothers and sisters Sunday by Sunday. I love including it in our liturgy on a Sunday morning. But it's important that we think about it as we pray. And it's also lovely to pray it when you're with a community of people who are different from ourselves, who maybe even speak a different language, and to hear us all praying the Lord's Prayer in our own language, but the familiar cadences of it make us realise that we're saying the same things. We're united together. And it's a wonderful, wonderful prayer to say, to remember God's holy name. We are to worship him as Father and to remember his holy name. Then Jesus also then tells us that as well as praying to God as Father, we are to pray to him as King. God is King. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And that reminds us that God is king of the whole universe. It is he who rules and reigns over us. He is sovereign, and one day his kingdom will come to rule here on earth. And one of Jesus' main teaching themes was the kingdom of God. The Jews were waiting for a Messiah who would take the throne of Israel and rule in Israel once again. But Jesus came not just for the people of Israel, but for the people of the world, and to bring his kingdom, God's kingdom, to earth as it is in heaven. There was a shift in the destination of the world and of all creation. When Jesus came into the world, he brought into this world, this fallen world, God's heavenly kingdom. And he is the one who is Lord over all our lives. He is the one to whom we should bow the knee. And he will return one day to rule and reign. So that has implications for us. Do we allow God's kingdom to reign in our lives? Are we willing to put him before all others, even before our national identities as British, as European, even in our relationships with other people? Are we willing to put God first rather than ourselves first? Are we willing to live out his kingdom values in the world, to bring his kingdom to rule and reign here in Northern Ireland and in Omagh? What's his kingdom like? His kingdom is a kingdom of love and peace and patience and goodness and kindness and justice and integrity and truthfulness and honour and glory to God. When we allow God to reign in his kingdom will come here on earth. And we're also called to follow in his ways, that his will be done and not our own. So even when we come to him with our prayers, we always should say, thy will be done. Thy will be done. It is God's will and God's way that we should want to see take over this world. And when it does, it will transform our world into a wonderful place to live. So it's important that we acknowledge God as king, and that we seek his kingdom and his rule and his reign in the world. And then Jesus also tells us that when we pray to him, we should also pray to God as our provider. He is the one who gives us our daily bread. I don't know about you, but I'm sure that in your cupboard and in your bread box, you have a variety of types of bread. And that could last you more than a day, could possibly even last you a week if there's enough additives in it. Or you can have stuff in your freezer. So you have so much, we have so much in the world today. And we don't think about this, that Jesus tells us that we are to ask God for our daily bread, for what we need for each day. That reminds us of the story of the people in exile in the desert, where God sent the manna, the bread for them to eat fresh every morning. But if they kept it to the next day, it got infested with maggots. They couldn't be greedy. They couldn't take more than they needed. All they needed was the day's supply. And that's what God provides. Jesus also later in the Sermon on the Mount tells people not to worry. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will have enough worries of itself. Ask God for what you need for today. So here Jesus is telling us that God is our provider, and we are to ask him for what we need for each day. And as we think about our daily provision, especially here in the West, it reminds us of how much God has already given to us. And so we should give thanks to God for all the things that we have in our cupboards and the roof over our heads and the clothes on our back and the friends that we have and our families who support us. But we will still have needs, and so we are to bring those needs, those worries, those concerns to God daily, that he will help us and that he will provide for us. Because he is our Heavenly Father and he knows what we need, and he will provide. The people who were out in Malawi will know very much how the people in Malawi are dependent on their daily bread and how thankful they are to God when it is provided. I could tell you many missionary stories of how God miraculously provided what a community needed on the right day, at the right time, and in the right situation, because they were trusting in God to provide for them. And so we should provide too, ask God to provide for our needs, but not our wants. We can have a big long list of things that we would like and things that we would want in life, and we can be quite selfish in our prayers. We need to remember that we are to ask God for what we need and to trust in him to provide it. And then the next area that Jesus reminds us to pray to God, to ask for, is forgiveness of sin. God is our Saviour. And so the next phrase in the Lord's Prayer is, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive others." Now, this area of forgiveness is a very difficult one for us because we are sinful human beings. And we either don't recognise that we are sinful and don't think that we need a saviour, and therefore don't think that we need any forgiveness. And yet Jesus came into the world in order to bring forgiveness to men and women. The scriptures are clear. All people have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All people have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Yes, you might live in today's society and live it according to Christian principles and look after people and care for people and show kindness and not break the law. And you can say, well, really, I don't sin too much. According to society, I haven't done anything that would send me to prison. I've supported those who are in need. I've cared for those who are sick. But still, we might have met the standards of society, of Christian way of living, but we can never meet the standard of the glory of God because we are fallen people. And our relationship with God is broken because of our sin. And that's why we need the forgiveness of Jesus and to know that he has paid the price for our sin and therefore can offer us forgiveness and cleansing and a new life. And that's the joy of the Christian life, that we can turn to Christ and seek forgiveness and receive his cleansing and start afresh in life. But what we receive from God, we are to give to others. And as we receive forgiveness for our sin, we are called to give forgiveness to other people. To be people who forgive others their wrongdoing. A bit like the tide that comes in and out. When we receive God's forgiveness, then we are to give it out to the world around us. And it's a cycle of receiving God's forgiveness and offering forgiveness to other people. Recognizing that as God has forgiven us, we have no right to withhold forgiveness to anyone else. That's challenging. It's challenging, isn't it? But we are to be people who forgive, to give others a second chance, a third chance, a 70 times seven chance. People who might ask for forgiveness and never change their ways, we are still to be willing to forgive them, to have hearts that are willing to forgive. Whether they receive that forgiveness, whether they even ask for that forgiveness, is none of our concern. That's not to do with us, that's to do with them, and to do with them and God. Our forgiveness is to be willing to forgive other people, to have a heart for forgiveness. Why? Because God has forgiven us. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. That's what we're called to do as God's children, as part of the followers of Jesus Christ. It's hard. That's why we ask God to help us to do it. It's not easy. I can't do it all the time either. It's not easy, but we have to ask God for his help to do that. And so as well as being our God, our Father, our Lord, our provider, our Saviour, God is also our protector. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus was very aware that he lived in a fallen world, and he needed God's protection around him because of the temptations that the world would offer to him. We know about the story in the desert where he was tempted. That came from within, as he had been anointed by God as his son, immediately into the desert and tempted by Satan. Take the power for yourself. Rule and reign here in this world today. I'll help you. Jesus resisted temptation because he turned to God and to his protection. And also we ask for deliverance from evil, because there is still evil prevalent in this world. We all know it. We've all possibly experienced it to one degree or another. But God promises to be our protector, to lead us not into temptation, but to deliver us from evil. And so we should trust in him to provide for us. And we have a responsibility. We all know how we're tempted in our lives, tempted to sin in one way or the other, whether it's gossip, whether it's gluttony, whether it's greed, whether it's lust, whether it's power, whether it's influence, whatever that temptation is. We are to ask God to block those paths and lead us not into temptation, to take us away from that which tempts us, and to deliver us from the evil one. And ultimately, Christ has delivered us from evil through his death on the cross at Calvary. That's why there's nothing in this world that can separate us from God's love in Jesus Christ, because he is the one who protects us and who delivers us from evil. And then finally, the words of the Lord's Prayer comes to an end with, "And God is glorious. For thine be the kingdom, the power, and the glory." God is glorious. He is the one who has the power to overcome all things. He is the one who is due all the glory. And he is the one in whom we would place all of our trust in life. He is our all in all. So in the Lord's Prayer, we are to recognize that God is our Father and to praise him for his holiness. We are to seek his kingdom here on earth. We are to share with him our needs and concerns. We are to seek his forgiveness for our sinfulness and offer forgiveness to others. We are to ask God for his protection from the temptations of the world and that he would deliver us from evil. A wonderful pattern of prayer. And I hope that it is a pattern of prayer that you will use, not just as you recite the words of the Lord's Prayer, but as you pray to your Heavenly Father in secret, at home, as you walk in the countryside, as you sit at the office desk and wonder, how on earth am I getting through another day? Think about what aspect of God's qualities can help me, and then seek his help through prayer. So we're going to finish the sermon with the words of the Lord's Prayer. So let us all join together in the words which Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. So we're going to come to God with our prayers for others. We're going to do it through song and through word. The words will appear on the screen. The refrain is, "O Lord, hear our prayer." The choir will sing it through once at the start of the prayer. If you know it, which I've sung it before, so I'm sure most of you would, then you can join in. I will then have a little prayer. There'll be a period of silence, and then we will sing it again. And we'll do that two or three times. So let's come before God in prayer. John.
Oh Lord.
God of all grace and comfort, hear our prayer for those who are unhappy, who are lonely or neglected, who are damaged or abused, whose life is darkened by fear or pain or sorrow. Give us grace to help them when we can. Give them faith to look beyond their trouble to you, their heavenly Father and unfailing friend, that they may take up the threads of life again and go on their way with fresh courage and renewed hope through Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord, you have been Abba Father in every generation. This morning we seek your fatherly blessing upon the families and homes of this generation of your people. Defend our homes against evil, surround us with your presence, and make us sanctuaries of your peace and joy. Bless those dear to us wherever they may be, and grant that they and we may dwell together in the shelter of your love, until we come at last into the Father's house in heaven, the family complete, through Jesus Christ our Lord. God of righteousness, hear our prayer for the life of our country. Bless the Queen and all those in positions of authority. Bless the people. Rule their hearts and encourage their endeavours for good. Help us to seek service before privilege, public prosperity before private gain, and the honour of your name before the popularity of our own. Give us liberty, peace and joy, and bind us in service to the community and in loyalty to you, through Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose precious name we offer these prayers. Amen. Your offerings to God will now be received. Abba Father, we thank you for your good gifts to us, and we pray, O Lord, that you would take these, our offerings, to offer your goodness to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So a service on prayer would not be a service on prayer without the final hymn, which is What a Friend We Have in Jesus, how we can bring all our prayers to him. So it's hymn number 257. Let us stand and worship Jesus, our friend and our saviour. a Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you all this day and forevermore. Amen.